Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 13 of the Ball 5 podcast, the baseball podcast that pried itself away from MLB The Show 2023 just long enough to record a podcast. My name is DJ Lopes. I'll be one of your hosts for the evening. Joining me is Chris Lopes. Chris, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm back in MLB The Show. I think we briefly mentioned this in other episodes that introducing the Negro League storylines and stuff like that, and then when they dropped David Wright, it was like an immediate, I have to get it, you know. And then I've been having a lot of fun with it, so
yeah. And then we played a co-op game, we've played a couple since it happened, and that was, I think that was kind of the moment for me that sold it. They're like, okay, you have to get this just so we could run co-op. But yeah, that's been a very fun game. But so the bulk of this podcast will be an NL preview, like we did our AL preview a couple weeks ago. This will be dropping on Thursday, opening day. No, that was not intentional. It definitely didn't happen because we were supposed to record a day earlier, and I had a very embarrassing technical difficulty that I won't get too much further into that has delayed this recording, but whatever. But first, so we did a whole preview pod on the World Baseball Classic about a month or so ago, and it came and went in the time that we've since we've recorded, and it was amazing. It was like everything I could have wanted it to be and more. Japan obviously came out on top, won the gold over the USA in a 3-2 incredible game. Once again, like I said, everything you could ever want about it. Chris, what was your overall vibe on the WBC?
I mean, it got me so far back into itching for baseball. I think, it was just such entertaining baseball. I'm going to be completely honest, short of the playoffs for the Mets last year, this was the most fun that I've had watching baseball in a very long time. It was just like such good baseball to watch. And this is even, after Edwin Diaz and even Jose Altuve to a lesser extent, but obviously because we're Mets fans, Edwin Diaz hurts a little bit more. But you know, it's just like this World Baseball Classic was such a breath of fresh air. I've heard a lot of stories about people that weren't really that into baseball that got into baseball because of it, you know, and it was just such a cool thing to watch in March, you know.
Yeah, I think breath of fresh air is like a great way to put it. Like, I was waking up in the morning, you know, getting ready to like go to work and like work a shift, and then all of a sudden, while I'm having my morning coffee and getting ready to start my day, there's like super high stakes baseball being played. And I that was where I caught that Italy Cuba game that went into extras and was super cool and really fun to watch. There was a lot of other bangers that happened there. I believe one of them was Chinese Taipei, and it was whatever game that Yu Chang hit that crazy grand slam in. So I believe that was against the Netherlands. But the one thing that I love the most about it is that sometimes you get these matchups that you look forward to in MLB and other sports, and it's something you look forward to, and all of a sudden, 5 innings in, 20 minutes in, it's a blowout. You know, it's just not what you wanted. What I loved about this is that like every matchup that you were like, oh, I cannot wait to watch that, was a banger. Yeah. Even the ones that like weren't as a little bit more lopsided, like the good example is the Dominican Republic and Venezuela game. That one was, Venezuela was kind of in control for most of it, but it was intense. It was high stakes. We had Jose Quijada, who I think is my breakout star of the tournament. I loved him so much. He was a reliever for Venezuela, who I learned recently has been on the Angels for the last 3 years. Shows how much I know about the Angels, but they throw so many like random reliever type pitchers that they all kind of blend together at some point. But Jose Quijada was absolutely electric. I don't know if his buttons on his jersey were malfunctioning or not, but they were just flying off of every pitch. He basically had a full, not even button jersey, and he was throwing ched. He was striking people out and hyping up the crowd. It was amazing. And then like even further than that, Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, banger. United States versus Venezuela, banger. Mexico versus Japan, one of the best baseball games in the past couple of years. And then once again, finally rounding out with USA and Japan, just absolutely incredible. I think everything from the knockout rounds on at least the knockout rounds that happened in the U.S., so basically the semifinals on. U.S. and Cuba was a bit of a dud, at the very least, but you could kind of tell that it was just a way more talented team heading up against the Cuba team that is, you know, aging, was allowing MLB players to play on the squad for the first time in, I believe, ever. But in overall, like, a lot of their best players were kind of sort of aging out, so you kind of expected that one to happen, but everything else was just top-notch. Some of the best baseball I've ever watched.
Yeah, it was just phenomenal. I can't wait. You know, I wish they could do it every year. I can't wait. I think just one other small, super small thing on it that I think I really encapsulates it is it was another thing kind of like when the lockout happened and everyone was watching Korean baseball and everything. Well,
that was the pandemic.
Well, sorry, that's what I kind of meant, but whatever. When the pandemic happened, you know, it was such a breath of fresh air to realize, like, you just love baseball. You know what I mean? That it's not the MLB players per se. You know, it's not all of these things. It's you just love watching people go out there and play the game. And this was another one. You loved watching the Czech Republic just go out there and play. You know, it was just such a cool thing to see. So,
exactly. And you mentioned briefly about the injuries. I wanted to mention some of them. We'll obviously get to Edwin Diaz later when we talk about the Mets in the NL preview, so I won't go too deep on that. But Jose Altuve, I believe, is expected to miss significant time with a broken finger, but not too much. Probably, I think it's like the first 2 months of the season. And then I also just wanted to mention a couple injuries that had happened stateside. Well, I guess some of the tournament was played in the States. Actually, where both of them got hurt was played in the States, so whatever. But in spring training stuff, there was the most recent one was Tristan McKenzie was pulled from his outing and is out for up to 8 weeks potentially with an injury, I believe, in his forearm. So hoping for the best for Sticks. Once again, as I had mentioned before in our AL preview, that was my player to look forward to for the Gardens. I love that kid. I think that he could finally make it up to be an all-star this year. So hopefully the injury doesn't throw too much of a wrench in that and he's able to get back on the hide and really be that second end of the dynamic duo with him and Shane Bieber. But so moving on from that, we're going to get into the bulk of the episode now, which is, like I mentioned before, an NL preview. So like we did last time, we're going to do some brief looking into what happened last season, what they're projected for this season, and then we're going to go over key additions, key losses, one thing we're looking forward to, and picking an over-under. I am moving this one to, I felt that the mixture of baseball perspectives and Fangraphs is a little bit more based in reality. It's not like as aggressive enough, which makes picking on over-unders a little bit less entertaining. So we're using Vegas lines. I don't know which one. I just Googled Vegas lines and I trusted it. So this could be bunk. It could be whatever. As you can tell, maybe I don't do much of that with Vegas lines. So we're going to do that. And once again, I'm going to pose to you the same question that I did last time. What division would you like to start on?
You know what? This time, I think we're going to get the worst out of the way first, and we're just going to jump right into the National League Central.
Got it. All right, so the National League Central, we're going to start off with probably still the worst team in the NL. I probably won't go as far to say in the MLB, because at least they have some bright spots, unlike a team like the Oakland A's, who just recently designated Kristen Pache for assignment. That was one of the main getbacks in the Matt Olson trade, and just a year later is already getting DFA'd, so a little concerning. But we're going to start off with the Cincinnati Reds. Last year went 62-100, which is a little bit surprising considering they started out 3-22. Overall, just like not a good team. Like not a good team at all. But there are some exciting bits in this team, primarily their starting pitching. Starting off with the trio of Graham Ashcraft, Hunter Green, and Nick Lodolo. So I think it's a decently exciting rotation, but overall, and who they brought in, who they lost, is Will Myers, Daniel Norris, Luke Weaver, Kirk Casale, Silvino Bracho, and our Bracco, and Luke Maley coming in, and leaving is Kyle Farmer, Jeff Hoffman, and Mike Moustakas. Chris, I know it's going to be a bad team, but there are at least some things that I think that are things we can look forward to and really watch. So what are you looking forward to the most?
Yeah, I think you know, just super brief, when we went over the AL preview, you know, the bad teams were like bad and they weren't even redeeming. There was nothing interesting about them, you know, nothing that would get you to go here. And I think in the National League, maybe it's because I'm a National Leaguer, you know, but I really do see that the bad teams in this league are like still kind of fun, you know. Like, for instance, you know, the even their hitting, like they have, you know, Jonathan India, who's a really interesting, fresh young kid. You know, they have some other young people to keep your eyes out for, TJ Friedel, Tyler Stevenson, you know. And then on top of that, I think Will Myers is going to love hitting in Cincinnati, you know. So he's going to be kind of cool to see if he can kind of redeem himself and then maybe get shipped off midway through, you know. But I think, you know, the thing to look out for here, as you mentioned, is their arms. It's, you know, has Hunter Green harnessed his fastball and his power, and is he going to kind of go out there and just shove? You know, is Nick Lodolo really gonna bring it? You know, he got a little hurt last year, but for the most part, he pitched pretty decently last year. So I'm really excited to see Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo in particular, but. Yeah, this isn't a good team, but
yeah. So you mentioned Will Myers was one of the most, like, so a lot of times with bad teams, you can tell when they're signing a player to ship off at the deadline. There's a couple people like that in the team we're gonna talk next to, the Pirates. But Will Myers was one of the most like, oh, they're not, like, I don't even think they're gonna be keeping him until like June levels of just signing a guy to ship off later, who's like a decent player. Who could bounce back a little bit, like you said, in that very hitter-friendly ballpark and eventually move on. So you're going to go with the rotation there. I want to go Joey Votto. You know, he's still working his way back from his injury. I don't know when he's going to be back exactly, but he was a guy that's, you know, one of my favorite players, just plain and simple. I love the kind of player he is. He gets on base. He idolizes Ted Williams, which growing up as a kid who shared a birthday with Ted Williams was something I loved about him. He's super high OBP, like not mind-blowing power, but just enough to really prop up other elements of his hitting, and I just love the guy so much. In 2021, he had a revelation of a year, hit 36 home runs, 938 OPS, 139 OPS plus, struggled and got injured in 2022, so I, you know, I don't know how many more years we're going to get of watching Joey Votto, so I will be watching the Reds, not only for some of this great starting pitching or, like, interesting starting pitching, but I will watch just to see what Joey Votto can bring to the table in, you know, what could potentially be one of his last years and maybe his last year in Cincinnati, a guy that spent literally his whole career drafted by the Reds there. So over-under, 65.5 wins. Chris, what do you got?
I'll take the under, but again, this is kind of like a push, but I just feel like the Pirates might be a little better.
Yeah, I think that they're still I think that they're still pretty clearly the worst team in the division. It's not a good offense. You know, it's not a good offense. The bullpen's terrible, aside from, you know, like Alexis Diaz and Raver San Martin, and, you know, everything else is not good. So I'm gonna go under. And that will move on to the Pittsburgh Pirates, the fourth team in the division. So, once again, same deal as last year with the Reds. The Pirates went 62-100. Couple bright spots included the call-up of O'Neill Cruz, who is a Statcast darling. Didn't translate the best to overall stats, but, you know, hits the ball hard, throws the ball incredibly hard, is a 6'7 dude that plays shortstop. What more can you ask for? But otherwise, it's a decent team with guys like Brian Reynolds and Key Brian Hayes. But, well, not decent. They're pretty bad still. But they added over the offseason Carlos Santana, Rich Hill, Vince Velasquez, G-Man Choi, Andrew McCutchen, kind of burying the lead there, and Kevin Plawecki. And key losses, I put looking through the roster, and I don't really know. So there are people, I'm sure. I think Roberto Perez is gone, but it's not really anything that you're looking at. It's like, oh, no. They're not on the Pirates anymore. But, Chris, what are you looking forward to the most about this Pirates team?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to go two things, but only because I feel like one is incredibly obvious. And the incredibly obvious one is just Andrew McCutchen, just in general. Such a good guy, and it's really cool to see him kind of potentially play out, you know, the rest of his years here in Pittsburgh. So it's really nice to kind of see that and kind of see, you know, a team willing to kind of take him on. And he's still a serviceable major league player. You know, I don't think he's bad per se. You know, he's just older. So I think he's definitely going to be fun. But the thing that I'll go and point out to is watching this rotation right now for the projected starting rotation. We have Mitch Keller, Rich Hill, Vince Velasquez, Roansy Contreras, and Johan Oviedo. You know, I think obviously the fun pieces there are going to be watching 43-year-old Rich Hill pitch in Pittsburgh. Guy's still going on. Good for him. You know, and then seeing, you know, if Vince Velasquez can kind of be at least somewhat of a shell of himself, you know, seeing Mitch Keller just continue to be an actual decent pitcher, and watching the young guns like Roansy Contreras and Johan Oviedo, but Roansy Contreras could be really fun to watch too. So I think this rotation is just going to be entertaining. I'm not going to say good. I'm going to say entertaining. So,
I would agree. And I was leaning towards Roansy Contreras for my pick. So thank you for that. He was, you know, a guy in the Jameson Taillon trade that looks pretty good. You know, really good stuff. He pitched a little bit, I believe, for the DR in the World Baseball Classic. So I guess who I will go for in my pick will be Ke'Bryan Hayes, who is the other guy on this team that I'm really fascinated about. Tremendous defender at third base. Is kind of, we're still trying to kind of figure out what he is as a hitter. Was tremendous in the shortened 2020 season, in which he only played about half of the games because he was a late call-up. And then in his two more fuller seasons, has not been great. 86 OPS plus in 2021 and 87 OPS plus in 2022. As we mentioned a couple episodes ago when we were talking about Brian Reynolds and his trade request, Ke'Bryan Hayes is the largest contract in Pirates history, which is very funny to say. I believe it was like 5 years, 77 mil. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how he can take that next leap to eventually take the mantle of, you know, one of the next third baseman that's up. So hopefully he's able to stick around. I think he can give Nolan Arenado a good run for his money as far as the best fielding third baseman in baseball. So yeah, I think that is who I'm going to go with, Ke'Bryan Hayes. Quick shout out to Colin Holderman, who was not very good in his time with the Pirates, was dealing with injuries, but was a former New York Met given away in the Daniel Vogelbach trade, who was really, really good for the Mets. So I'm always hoping for the best for him. Chris, we have here 67.5 projected wins for the Pirates. What do you got?
I might actually go under again for this one, but this one is kind of like at that 65. So I might go both the Reds and the Pirates under.
I will go slight over for this one. I think that the Pirates are in a bit more, you know, they're starting to move into a more advanced stage of their rebuild. Hopefully that coincides with like giving Brian Reynolds good money. So I'm hoping that that's what happens there. I don't think it'll happen. But I'm thinking like it's probably like a 69-70 win team. Still not good, but moving on to the Chicago Cubs, a team that we've talked before briefly about in our sleeper episode. And I think I mentioned before when I said that the Rangers were my sleeper and I felt really bad about them during the AL preview. This one I'm still optimistic about. I still think it's a pretty solid team. They brought in pretty interesting offseason. They brought in Cody Bellinger, Dansby Swanson, Eric Hosmer, Edwin Rios, Jameson Taillon, Julian Merriweather, Trey Mancini, and Brad Boxberger. Their key losses were, of course, their longtime catcher Wilson Contreras, as well as Framil Reyes, Rafael Ortega, and Frank Schwindel, who I believe was actually just DFA'd during the season last year, but he was a real flash in the pan. I wonder how we're going to look at that half season in 2021 moving forward. But still, Chris, what are you most looking forward to about this team?
You know, I think it's going to be kind of I'm looking at their roster and I'm wondering, you know, like where the big oomph is. And I guess like a third place finish is a pretty good projection for them. You know, obviously third place isn't much. It's kind of the first loser in this series here. In this division. What I'm kind of looking forward to, I might give you the obvious one if you're going to take it. But I want to see Trey Mancini, you know. So we obviously saw Trey on a different team last year in Houston. Really didn't do much for them short of what, like a week or so where he was like halfway good.
Notably didn't have a hit in the playoffs until like game five of the World Series. But he did make one of the best defensive plays of the whole playoffs for that run, stopping that like laser of a Kyle Schwarber liner. But
yeah,
it was not his time in Houston.
Thank you for picking that up. But you know, so this will be the first time that we actually see him in a team. You know what? This will be the first time we won't see him in any orange at all. No, but this will be the first time that we don't see him in Baltimore and needing to kind of anchor down this, you know, middling team. I wouldn't even say young team, you know, this kind of just like their team. So it'll be cool to see kind of Trey Mancini. Obviously, always root for the guy. And it'll be cool to see him in a new environment, you know, playing in Chicago. So,
yeah, so I think that that's a good one, especially because their first baseman position is really confusing right now because they signed, once again, Eric Hosmer, Trey Mancini, and Edwin Rios, who are all kind of similar people in that regard playing that position. So it's going to be weird to see how they, you know, take that, especially because they have Matt Mervis coming up, who's one of their top prospects and is a first baseman as well. So I don't know where they're going with that, but that does tee me up to kind of pick the obvious thing I'm looking out for this season, which is Cody Bellinger. There's a lot of stories on this team. I think they have pitching that I'm looking forward to, especially the back end of the rotation. I want to see how Hayden Wesneski, who was pretty solid in his time, short time after getting traded for Scott F. Ross, I want to see how he really takes shape and grows into a starter on this rotation. I want to see if maybe Adbert Alzolay is going to come back. He's been a reliever in that time for a couple of years, but I want to see if maybe he's there for that rotation and wants to take that spot. But, I mean, it's Cody Bellinger, 2019 MVP. What the hell has happened since? I mean, he's been injured. He's been everything. I said 2019, right, for the MVP?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. So regardless, MVP has some of the most confounding seasons after that. But I think that maybe he's the biggest change of scenery candidate. You know, one of the bigger ones we've seen in the last couple of years. So I will be really, really intrigued to see how he handles this. This is a one-year deal. Could either really kind of make or break the next end of his career, because if he's bad, I don't know. I mean, he'll probably keep getting these prove-it deals until the end of time just because of what he did in 2019, but this is could be one of his last chance to get like a 4 or 5 year deal for good money if he can really ball out. So looking forward to that, really curious to see how it's going to go, but overall still, I think a pretty solid team. Projection has them at 76.5 wins. Chris, what do you have?
I think I'm just going to, I keep on doing it, but I'm just going to do the under. I think this NL Central is just kind of an underwhelming teams for me. So
I will go over. I think their highest kind of projection is like an 82, 83 win team. Where I kind of see them fitting is around a 78 and 84 team. But once again, there is a world where all of these prove it guys don't prove it, and then they just suck again. So that'll be interesting to see. On to the next one, the Milwaukee Brewers. 86 and 76 last year. Just kind of in a very weird spot in their time. Key additions, Luke Voit, Wade Miley, William Contreras, who was a great pickup, swooping in that Sean Murphy deal. Joel Piamps, Jesse Winker, Abraham Toro. Losses, Hunter Renfro, Esteri Ruiz, and Jace Peterson. Chris, your thing you're looking forward to with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really just watching Corbin Burnes this year. You know, obviously there was a lot of drama going into going into it with the a lot of drama going into the arbitration hearings that he had, and kind of the sour taste in his mouth with kind of the way that Milwaukee targeted him and treated him and stuff like that. You know, bringing up the whole they didn't make the playoffs because of him or whatever, which is absolutely insane because they were only in the position to make the playoffs because of him. But regardless, you know, it's just going to be really interesting. Obviously, he's not going to just shit the bed or anything like that. Obviously, he's pitching for himself to kind of get out of this situation. So it's just an interesting situation and kind of goes to show that I just don't know what they're doing out there in Milwaukee, you know, like, and it's kind of just what is this team trying to do? You know, they've kind of been this second place team for a long time within this NL Central, you know, making the playoffs here and there and making interesting runs. But I just, it's just intriguing to see what they'll do, but, also intriguing to see, you know, kind of what Corbin Burnes will be, because he'd be really good in any other team, and it'll be a game-changing pitcher if he does get out of here. So,
yeah, I think it's very interesting. I think that this is a pretty cheap organization, and I think that they probably see what happened with the Christian Yelich thing as like, this is why you don't give money to people, and not just like, sometimes you make a bad deal. I kind of think that that's where they're going. Which hopefully doesn't happen, because Corbin Burnes is once again one of the most exciting pitchers in MLB. I love him. He's one of my favorite pitchers. My pick will be Jesse Winker. Really curious to see how he turns out this year. Dealt with a lot of injuries in his 1 year in Seattle. Really struggled, but in past years has been a very, very good hitter, especially from the left-handed side. Him in the same lineup as Christian Yelich will be really interesting to kind of see which one of them kind of picks up the power, which both of them have lost due to injuries, obviously, and other stuff. So I'll be really interesting to see how he bounces back. Once again, I do think it's really cool that they were able to swoop in and get William Contreras. I think that really beefs up their lineup a little bit, if he can be what he was around the first half of the season in Atlanta. But yeah, otherwise, not too much with this team. I think they're kind of just the epitome of mid. Really good starting rotation. Bullpen except for Devin Williams, and the lineup doesn't inspire too much confidence, but it's not exactly terrible. So 86 and a half wins is their projection, basically the same as last year. Chris, what do you got?
I don't know. I guess since I've done under for everyone else, I'm gonna do over for them, but like at an 87.
Yeah, I'll go under, like 84. So that brings us to the last team in the NL Central, the St. Louis Cardinals. Last season, 93-69, won the division. Which isn't saying too much about the NL Central, but adding their key adds were Wilson Contreras. That's it. And then their key losses were Albert Pujols, Yadier Molina, Jose Quintana, and Corey Dickerson. Chris, your thing that you're looking forward to about the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, I think my big thing now is kind of seeing where their kind of younger players on their team go for this. So, you just mentioned they didn't really do much, obviously going out there and getting Wilson Contreras, which was what I predicted. So I will take that as a win. I didn't get many of those wins, but I'll take that one as a win.
It's like one of the only ones that either of us got right.
Exactly.
I want to revisit that. I keep forgetting we really did not do well on those predictions.
Nope, did not. But with that said, they didn't go out there and get many people because I think that they're really trusting their young guns here. You know, they have a very young team with a lot of promise, you know, between all the players, between Brandon Donovan, Lars Nootbaar, Tyler O'Neill, Nolan Gorman, Jordan Walker, Tommy Edman. They're all, you know, younger players, especially Jordan Walker. So it's going to be really cool to see that you still have guys like a guy like Dylan Carlson. I know he's kind of fallen off a bit, but you still have players like that to maybe kind of go out there. Their pitching is okay. You know, I mean, it's not bad. Miles Mikolas, Jack Flaherty, Jordan Montgomery, Jake Woodford, and Steven Matz. It's a good rotation. I wouldn't say it's, you know, bringing down anything crazy, but They're just a pretty solid team overall. Young team. It'll be interesting to see how they work their devil magic, Cardinals devil magic, this year.
Yeah, it's a really, really good lineup. And once again, you mentioned all those names, not even to mention the two top three NL MVP finishers in Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt, which is, you know, just goes to show just how good this team is on the offensive end. Their pitching, I am not as confident in as you are. I don't think it's very good. I think they desperately needed to sign Carlos Rodon or Michael Wacha or literally anybody that was a free agent. It wasn't like a great starting pitching class aside from like the top of the top, but the rotation just needs someone, and maybe they get that in the offseason. I mean, not the offseason, the trade deadline. I think it's hinging a lot on Jack Flaherty. I think that Jack Flaherty is going to have a huge prove it year to really become the ace of this rotation again. He was really, really good in 2019, has kind of been up and down ever since, you know, more down dealing with injuries and stuff like that, but has the talent to be the ace of this rotation, and it's going to be something that they absolutely need him to be. If they're going to have any playoff success, I don't doubt that they're going to have success in the regular season, probably win the division just because it is a weaker division, but I have doubts about this rotation in the playoffs. I think that getting a real, real, real ace at the deadline will really help that. So projection is at 88.5 wins. Chris, what do you pick?
Someone's got to win these games, though. They're definitely getting the over on this one.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to be like a like the other NL Central team, the Guardians, like a 90-91 win team that makes that wins the division. So now that we're kind of in the middle here in the NL Central, we can either go to the East or the West. Chris, how we feeling?
Let's do the West and then round out with our East.
Got it. All right. So moving on to the NL West, we're going to start off with the last place finisher, the Colorado Rockies. 68-94, just a confounding team. Man, they added Nolan Jones, Jurickson Profar, Mike Moustakas, Pierce Johnson, and Phillips Valdez this offseason. They lost Jose Iglesias, Alex Colome, Chad Kuhl, and Sam Hilliard. I just don't know what to make of this team. I'll never know what to make of this team. They could win like 107 games like 10 years from now, and I'll still never know what to make of this team. Chris, what do you make of this team? What are you looking forward to?
There isn't much. So when, you know, I still think they kind of prescribe to that. The NL is still a little bit more fun than the bad teams in the AL, because at least the Colorado Rockies play in Colorado. So it just gets interesting, you know, and it can inflate people's numbers. It can make people look much better than they are. You know, it'll be interesting to kind of see. I love that they're still trotting out a Charlie Blackman and a CJ Cron and stuff like that. But the person that I'm really looking forward to is Chris Bryant. You know, I think with the up and down season last year, injuries and stuff, you didn't really see what he was going to be outside of that, outside of that like big contract that he signed with Colorado, and was always everyone was always wondering, you know, like, why did he sign this? What's the point of signing this this contract in Colorado? And then it didn't really, you know, show for anything. And even now he's projected there 20 home runs, 280 average. That's good, but is that really what you want from someone that you went out there and got that money for? So. Yeah, I'm kind of just interested, like, is this just what Chris Bryant is, you know, or is he gonna kind of reclaim that Chicago Cubs lore that he had? So
definitely I feel like the Rockies are a team that if you ask them, do you have a direction, because I don't think anybody thinks they have a direction, if you ask them do you have a direction, they'll say yes, and then you'll ask them to elaborate and they'll just kind of talk around it. I like I said, I just don't know what's going to happen. I guess player I'm looking forward to, Ezekiel Tovar. He's one of their top prospects, going to be fixing to be the starting everyday shortstop there. From what I've heard, good glove, decent bat. So, yeah, I guess I'll say that's what I'm looking forward to. So the projection here is 65.5 wins. Chris, what do you have?
I guess I'll still go under for them. Not really feeling it, but...
Yeah, I will go under as well there. Moving on to a slightly more exciting but still team in the Arizona Diamondbacks, 74-88 last season. They're going to be projected for 74.5 wins on the dot. So basically the same season that they're projected to have. Additions, they added Kyle Lewis, Andrew Chafin, Austin Adams, Evan Longoria, Miguel Castro, Mets legend, and then Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Gabriel Moreno. They lost Dalton Varsho in that aforementioned Lourdes Gurriel and Gabriel Moreno move, and then Jordan Luplow, Caleb Smith. So not too much in the loss department. Decent offseason, I would say, on the whole. Chris, what's your overall vibe for the Diamondbacks? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I think my overall vibe for the Diamondbacks is they are the best worst team in the league, in both leagues. You know, I think that they're still, like you said, they're still not a good team. But I do think that they have some really interesting pieces to watch for. I'm definitely going to try to catch some games. It's always hard to catch West Coast games there, but I'm definitely going to try to catch some, mainly because, you know, I really want to watch Corbin Carroll. I invested a little bit of money in him and in our new dynasty league, so I'm hoping that I get fake some money. Dividends paid there. Fake money, yes. but you know, it's an investment, and you know, now I really want to see that. Other players that I'm really intrigued by, Kyle Lewis is another train to scenery type guy. It was kind of surprising when that trade went through and he was part of that there, but I think, you know, it's a really interesting piece, and hoping that he can again kind of see a little bit of a change of scenery and play some games out there in Arizona and love it. I didn't even know they went out and got Evan Longoria. That's a weird one to me. But a veteran leadership, and their rotation's okay. It's not great, you know, but you know, Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, good pitchers, and then obviously Madison Bumgarner is a shell of himself. Zach Davies and Ryan Nelson rounding it out. But, you know, Gallen, Kelly, some really interesting young bats. I think they could be fun, but.
Yeah, so my pick for the player, and I do feel a little bad for Kyle Lewis, who's being traded now from one stacked outfield with a promising future to another stacked outfield with a promising future in Corbin Carroll, Jake McCarthy, and Alec Thomas. Three really good prospects that played pretty well last season. My pick is going to be Ketel Marte. I love Ketel Marte. This is a slightly biased MLB The Show answer as well, because Ketel Marte has one of the greatest cards you'll ever see, year in, year out. Beautiful swing. But yeah, he's been, for the last 5 or 6 years, just an on and off player. 102 OPS plus in 2018, 149 OPS plus in 2019, 97 OPS plus in 2020, 143 OPS plus in 2021, 106 OPS plus in 2022. So if that is to continue, he will have a little bit of odd year magic and really ball out this season. So I'm looking forward to that. Just a really good player, good switch hitter, and plays a little bit all around, will be the second baseman for this team. Just signed that pretty decent extension with the team. So yeah, I will go Ketel Marte. Looking forward, hope he has a very good season this year. They are projected for 74.5 wins. Chris, what do you take?
I think it's a pretty easy over to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go the over here. I think that they're going to finish above the team that we are projected to talk about next, which is the San Francisco Giants. 81-81 last season, projected this year for 81.5 wins. Same deal as the Diamondbacks, just they kind of, this feels a little lazy, just said, whatever. We'll set the over-under the exact same amount of wins he had last year. Key additions for the San Francisco Giants: Michael Conforto, Mitch Haniger, Luke Jackson, Taylor Rogers, Ross Stripling, Sean Manaea, and the ghosts of Carlos Correa and Aaron Judge. Their key losses were Brandon Belt. Gonna feel weird not seeing him in Giants orange and black. Evan Longoria, Kirk Cassali, and Shelby Miller. Chris, your thing to look forward to with the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, you know, in keeping in true fashion, I'm gonna say like 10 things and then do my actual one. You know, I really want to see Michael Conforto play well. I've always loved the guy. One of my favorite players when he was with the Mets. You know, I think even just a few years ago, I think if you ask me who my favorite Met was at the time, I would have said Michael Conforto. But, you know, I want to see him succeed and hope that he does. Another former Met here, JD Davis. Funny, just kind of musings there. Funny that the Mets DFA'd Darren Ruff, and so the trade where they went out to go get Darren Ruff and overpaid for him, and then they just DFA'd him. But whatever, it is what it is. Baseball is baseball. So my actual thing here, though, is I want to see Joey Bart. You know, still young, kind of a little bit up in the air as to what his actual pedigree is as, you know, that catcher. It was definitely, you know, drafted behind Buster Posey, obviously, and it was going to be like that kind of, he was going to be that that kind of ushering in a new era of San Francisco Giants and a new era of great catchers over there, and hasn't really panned out as much. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes. Still young, 26 years old. So obviously this could be the Mike Trout curse where we think that everyone should hit the ground running. But it'll be interesting to see how he fares.
Definitely, definitely. And it's been a couple of years at this point. I think they finally kind of committed to him last year. Still struggled a little bit. I'm looking at this lineup and I think it kind of sucks. You know, they were doing the projections when they were signing, you know, Carlos Correa and Aaron Judge. And it just kind of looked like that picture of it's like a Maserati in the driveway of a beatdown house. So I think that it's just kind of, I'm not really looking forward to this lineup. The one player I am looking forward to the most, though, is Camilo Duvall. I love this guy. He throws absolute gas, throws from a very, very unique arm angle. His motion is like super fun to watch. It kind of feels very like gangly and a lot of moving parts there, but he just throws absolute cheddar and the ball moves a ton when you're watching him play. I am really excited to keep watching this guy. I love Camilo Duvall. But I think that brings us to our projection of 81.5 wins. Chris, who taking the over or the under?
I'll take the under. Like you alluded to, this team is just uninspiring. I actually, looking at their roster, I don't see that they're better than the Diamondbacks. So
yeah,
I think I'm gonna go Diamondbacks taking them over, and then they're gonna hit the under here.
Yeah, it feels like a pretty big under there. So moving on to the second team here, the San Diego Padres. Last year, 89 wins. Obviously went to the NLCS after taking down two 100-plus win teams in the Mets and the Dodgers in the playoffs. Eventually lost to the Phillies, who went on to the World Series, obviously. The key additions for this team, Xander Bogaerts, ever heard of him? And then Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, Nelson Cruz, Matt Carpenter. And then as far as their losses go, Josh Bell. I don't know why I put Jose Bell there as a typo. Brandon Drury, Sean Manaea, Mike Clevenger, Jorge Alfaro, and Jurickson Profar. Chris, your thing to look forward to for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, what is Fernando Tatis now? Obviously, he's a wonderful baseball player, but, you know, coming off of the 80-game suspension for the PED usage, really bad remarks from the front office saying that how, you know, kind of disappointed and how immature he is. So just a lot of stuff. I mean, he is 24. Obviously, that's not a that's not an excuse. You know, it's more just a reason, I guess. But yeah, I was kind of just intrigued to see what Fernando Tatis actually is, especially this year. He's going to be purely in the outfield. Or I guess he should be purely in the outfield. So I don't know. It'll be just interesting to see where he slots in. There's already been players. Obviously, he had kind of a big screaming match, I think it was a few years ago, or maybe it was just last year with Manny Machado. It'll be just, like I said, just interesting to see where he kind of slots in, and is he the star that he's shown that he could be, or what is that? So
yeah, as a soon to be 24-year-old, I can attest that if I had Fernando Tatis Jr.'s money and fame, I would probably be very similar. But I think from everything I've heard, he's really kind of taken this time as an opportunity to kind of reflect and you know, recognize, I guess, you know, his talents and what he can be, what he can be, what he can eventually show up as when he's able to touch the field again. And I think he's just going to be phenomenal. Has been a little bit of mixed returns in the outfield so far in spring training. Has a great arm. Tracking fly balls has been a little bit tough, which is, I guess, a very important part of playing the outfield. But still, I have absolute faith that he'll be able to pick it up and become a star again. I'm really excited for him. My player to watch, another obvious pick here, his outfield mate, Juan Soto. A little bit of a down year this year. Last year, you never got, like, the Juan Soto that was promised in San Diego last year. Struggled still a bit. And once again, struggling for Juan Soto means that he had a 130 OPS plus instead of a 159 OPS plus. So he was still incredible last year, but I think that last year was dealing with a lot of the trade rumors, obviously getting traded over to a team with a lot of expectations after getting a lot of stars and then kind of trying to figure his way out through that. So there was a lot of stuff that was probably weighing on his mind, going through that year. But now I think he could play a little bit more free. He still has that contract extension looming, but that's in, a year or two from now. So I think he can finally play a little bit more free and really get back to the Juan Soto that we know and love even more so than he was last year, which was still an incredibly exciting version of Juan Soto. So he's absolutely one of my favorite players in MLB point blank period. I think he's probably, short of like Yordan Alvarez, the best pure hitter in baseball. So yeah, really excited for him. Over under is at 93.5 wins. Chris, what are you taking?
Maybe this is controversial, but I'm actually going to go the under on this. Ooh. I just think that 93.5 wins, going for 94, that's a lot of wins. Just with some of the struggles and having to see some guys kind of gel with each other, I'm really intrigued by it. And also, this is something that we didn't mention, but I think it can be interesting to point out. Seth Lugo is slotted as their fifth starter right now. Love Seth, but has not started in a very long time. So is he going to transition to that well? And then obviously their bullpen is really, really good, but you also have the struggles of Josh Hader kind of looming. Is he going to be, is he going to continue those struggles? So I don't know. I see kind of the under, but at like 90 wins. So like, yeah. I'm still thinking they're going to be a 90 win team. I'm intrigued to bet the under here.
Yeah, I'm taking a pretty confident over here. I think that my take this year is that I have them winning the division. So I will take the over there. And I guess that speaks to what I'm going to say about the Dodgers, which is our next team there. Last season, 111 wins. Very, that's just a number that I just said out loud and I still couldn't believe it. 111 wins, 51 losses. Projected this year for 96.5 wins. Key additions, Miguel Rojas, David Peralta, JD Martinez, Noah Syndergaard, Jason Hayward, and Shelby Miller. Very low-key offseason for them. Key losses, Cody Bellinger, Edwin Rios, Hanser Alberto, Justin Turner, Tyler Anderson, Andrew Haney, Tommy Canley, Craig Kimbrell, David Price. A lot of losses there. Chris, your thing you're looking forward to about the Dodgers?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the thing, and I keep talking about, kind of what are these guys and who is this, I think I really want to see Max Muncy, though. I really want to see if Max Muncy, can continue being a really good major leaguer, if he can take another step forward. He had a spell where he was like one of the worst hitters like ever, and then all of a sudden had like a spell of being a really good hitter. And he's done that a few times in his career. So kind of just dealing with the ebbs and flows of the season. I'm kind of intrigued to see Max Muncy, but you're right. Looking at this roster, it's really top heavy in their lineup, and their pitching is also incredibly top heavy and incredibly leaning on Julio Urias and Dustin May and Clayton Kershaw, to a lesser extent there. So, I'm actually looking at this roster for the first time, like, as a whole, and I'm kind of, like, underwhelmed by it. But
yeah, I think my big thing is that they're old as hell. David Peralta, 35.5. Old subjective, once again. David Peralta and JD Martinez, 35.5 years old. Miguel Rojas, 34 years old. Trace Thompson, 32. Max Muncy, 32. Freddie Freeman, 33. It's just like, it's a lineup that I'm just not sure about. Obviously, they're the Dodgers, so they'll figure something out, but it's not the Dodgers lineups of previous years. So I think there's a lot of questions. My question is, who will have the Dodgers bullshit year? Like, the most, why the hell, how the hell did this happen? Last year, it was Trace Thompson, who, after being just, like, kind of a career mid-whatever hitter, put up a 901 OPS last year for the Dodgers. So, 145 OPS plus after in a short stint putting up a negative 20 OPS plus in the same season with the Padres. So yeah, I can't wait to figure out who it is. I'm putting my money on Miguel Rojas, who's just going to probably have a bounce back season with them. So that'll be my thing I'm looking forward to, is what bullshit the Dodgers will pull off to make a whatever player have an amazing season.
Yeah, I'm putting my money on Thor reclamation
project. Oh, yeah, that's a good pick. He was still sitting only at like 93 miles an hour though, so I'm not sure what's gonna happen there, but they'll figure it out probably. They're the Dodgers; they always do. 96.5 wins. Chris, what's your pick?
Yeah, actually, going into it, I was gonna say this is wild to say the over, but actually looking at the roster, I'm gonna go actual pretty confident under on this one.
Yeah, I'm gonna doubt the Dodgers. They'll prove us wrong. Whatever, they'll win 104 games. I'm resigned to it happening. They're like the Ray. I mean, they are the Rays of the NL, except they spend money. So yeah, it's useless to doubt them, but I will. I'll take the under there. And as I mentioned before,
no one should trust us.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, I have the Padres winning the division, which brings us to our last division here. We might speed through a little bit of this because we're running a little bit long here. We have the NL East starting with the Nationals, 55-107 last year. Key additions, Tom Smith, Alex Colome, Trevor Williams, Erasmo Ramirez, Jaime Candelario, Michael Chavis. Key losses, Luke Voit, I don't actually know. Once again, another situation like the Pirates, I looked at the roster. I cannot tell who was on this roster last year because I don't know. This team is just a lot of nobodies. So, yeah. Chris, I guess the thing you're looking forward to, you pick the one former Met, I'll pick the other.
Actually, I'm going to pick Josiah Gray. I'm really looking forward to that. He had a really good spring. And you know, it's one of those things like, can he harness it? Can he kind of, push through a big piece of that trade, him and Keibert Ruiz. So, it just could be really fun to watch him, and maybe he is, you know, one of the people that in the next few years you can see as a stalwart in this rotation, him and Mackenzie Gore. But yeah, you're right. This roster is very funny when it comes to like the prospects that they do have, because there's not like, there's some good prospects, you know, but it's kind of some good prospects and then some really bad players. So yeah. I'm going to do that. And then you have their projection at 59.5 wins. It's crazy, but I'm actually going to take the under on this one. But yeah, I think I'm looking forward to Josiah Gray, and I'm taking the under on 59.5 wins.
Yeah, all their prospects that they got in the Juan Soto, aside from like Mackenzie Gore and CJ Abrams, are still like just a year or two away. So they have good prospects, but they're just not going to be here this year. I will shout out Dominic Smith and Trevor Williams, two beloved Mets that I had a lot of, you know, I really enjoyed with. I think they're really great guys. That are moving on, understandably so. I hope they ball out. My pick is going to be Joey Meneses. Is he what he was last year? Was he 2022's Frank Schwindel, and is he going to be bad again? I hope not. He's a really cool guy. He hit two home runs against USA in the WBC, so I have high hopes for Joey Meneses, and 59.5 wins is just too low to say under. They're terrible. They're really, really, really bad. But I cannot get myself to say under on 59.5 wins. So I will go over, but not by much. Moving on, we have the Miami second baseman. I mean, the Miami Marlins. 69-93 last season. Another one of those years is like, oh, they could be decent this year. And then they just sucked. Key additions, Jean Segura, Luis Arraez, Jose Iglesias, Yuli Gurriel, and Johnny Cueto. Key losses, Miguel Rojas, Jeff Brigham, and Eliezer Hernandez. Chris, your thing you're looking forward to about the Miami Marlins?
Yeah, I mean, they're always going to be team to watch out for at the end of the season. Obviously, I have some pretty bad memories of this team. You know, their rotation is very good and very young. So that's going to be really fun. But I'm mostly intrigued for the memes to watch Jazz Chisholm in center. Jazz Chisholm in center. Either he's going to prove us all wrong, and like he said, he's going to win a gold glove out there and he's going to make us all eat crow. Or it's just going to be really entertaining to watch him just be bad out there. I don't think so. I think he's going to be fine. You know, he's a professional athlete and he's fast. So yeah. I'm sure he's going to be able to cover a ton of ground out there in center. But it's just going to be interesting to watch him kind of handle that.
Yeah, I think regardless of result, it's going to be incredibly entertaining out there. My pick, I'll just, you know, pick a random thing in this rotation that I'm really looking forward to because it's going to be in here. I'll say Sandy Alcantara coming off of Cy Young award-winning season. Also really looking forward to Edward Cabrera. Showed a lot of promise, was really solid in his outings there. Had a little bit of a cup of coffee towards the end of last year. But Sandy Alcantara, just phenomenal pitcher, workhorse, is one of the rare workhorses, a guy that you could probably look to throw 200-plus really great innings a season. So I'm really excited to see how he builds on this campaign. Max Scherzer versus Sandy Alcantara opening day on Thursday is going to be very fun to watch. Can't wait for that. Over-under is at 75.5. Chris, what's your pick?
I'll go the under just because of how good I think the top three teams in this division are going to be.
Yeah, it's just way too high. I'll take the under on 75.5, which, speaking of the top three teams in the division, we're going to get started here with the Philadelphia Phillies. Last season went 87-75, obviously went to the World Series after just barely squeaking in with that third, the third wild card spot. Made some big moves in the offseason, added Trey Turner, Matt Strom, Taijuan Walker, Craig Kimbrell, and Gregory Soto. They lost Nick Maton, Matt Vierling, Gene Segura, Zach Eflin, Noah Syndergaard, Brad Hand, and David Robertson. Chris, your thing you're looking forward to about the 2023 Philadelphia Phillies?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So I think I almost want to say that I'm looking forward to everything, you know. I think that they have a really fun team, actually. I hate that they are in our division and so much hated rivals. You know, I think that they're a fun team. You know, I'm kind of really looking forward to Alec Bohm. I want to see him kind of turn that page again and then kind of progress forward. Made some good strides, and I think that he can continue to make those good strides and be another, you know, real good third baseman for the Phillies there. Looking at their rotation, I'm actually, their rotation does seem kind of weak behind Nola Wheeler and Taijuan Walker. Then it kind of falls off with Bailey Falter and Matt Strom there. So it'll be interesting to kind of see. I mean, I don't know, Ranger Suarez has forearm tightness, so maybe he'll just come back and then, you know, be in that rotation. But yeah, I'm just kind of, I'm intrigued to see if they do anything with this starting pitcher. I don't know if they have anyone in the wings here, but I'm kind of looking forward to Alec Bohm.
Yeah, I tell you what, they got a shit ton of things I'm not looking forward to facing, just because, once again, they plan to be a really good team. My thing I'm looking forward to this season is Nick Castellanos. Really struggled last season after just being a, you know, really, really consistent, great hitter. And when he's not hitting, he's really bad in the field. So I hope for their sake, for his sake, that he really starts to pick it up. And I think he will. I have decent confidence in a guy like that. When you're a hitter like that, you know, even one bad year kind of doesn't move you. So I'm looking forward to him there. 89.5 wins is the projection. What's your take?
I'm actually going to take the over on this one. I just think they're a really good team. I'm actually intrigued just to see how the Rhys Hoskins injury is going to play into into their season this year, but I think I'll still take the over on this one.
Yeah, I mean, the Rhys Hoskins and Bryce Harper injuries, who will still be missing about, I believe, half the season potentially, is why I'm probably going to take a slight under here, probably like 89 flat. I still have them, you know, making the playoffs, and they're going to be a very good team in the playoffs. They're not going to be somebody that you can look away from because they have, you know, they'll have they won't have Rhys back, but they'll have Bryce back for that time. So I still think they're a really good team, but I mean, that's two bats in a stacked lineup still, but you know, two of the more stacked bats in that lineup still down. So I will take a slight under there. But once again, like I said, it's probably like exactly 89 wins there. Moving on to the second team here, our team, the New York Metropolitans, 101-61 last year, projected for 94.5 wins. Key additions: Justin Verlander, Kodai Senga, Brooks Raley, Jose Quintana, David Robertson, Danny Mendick, Tim LaCastro, and Omar Narvaez. Big offseason for them in the additions as well as the losses: Jacob deGrom, Dominic Smith, James McCann, Taiwan Walker, Chris Bassett, Seth Lugo, and Trevor Williams. Chris, what thing are you looking forward to about the New York Mets? Oh, I should also mention key losses. Edwin Diaz does count, as he will not be there this whole season.
Yeah. You know, I think it was funny. I was actually talking with my wife, Allison, today, and I was kind of like, I'm kind of at odds with the Mets this year, where I have high expectations. I have World Series expectations for this team, but I'm also okay if they don't get there. You know, I think that the additions that they made are very good additions. I think, you know, the David Robertson addition that you make, the Brooks Raley addition that you made, can obviously, it's really difficult to say, can help the Edwin Diaz injury. But I think if you have to say that, hey, Edwin Diaz is down, but we have to give the ball to David Robertson, I don't, I think that that's something that you can at least say, hey, this is a doable situation. Obviously, it's not ideal and it's not great, but it's a doable situation there. So we still have a good bullpen. We still have good starting pitching. We still have a good lineup. I think this is still a really good team. I think, to me, I'm really looking forward to Pete Alonso. You know, love watching him. There's not many people in the league that you can say are almost a shoo-in for 40 home runs a year, and has the potential for that 50 home run season, those 50 home run seasons. So I think Pete is definitely going to be there. And I think he's really wants to ball out and really show that he is, you know, one of the best, you know, not just first baseman in the league, but one of the best players in the league. I think he's going to take that turn. Obviously, I'm a little bit of a homer. I think he's going to take that turn and go into where he wants an extension. I know that, you know, his contract won't be up until 2025, but kind of looking for that extension earlier. So yeah, I'm kind of interested in looking for that.
Yeah, so my thing I'm looking forward to is Kodai Senga, obviously coming over from Japan. Really cool pitch mix, has that ghost fork, which I've seen in some spring training action, is great. Control issues I think are still going to be there for the first half of the season or so, getting used to the mound, but I have really high, not expectations, but I'm really looking forward to seeing him play. Am I like Frank the Tank levels of doomer if I'm leaning on the under here? It just because I know that there will probably be prospects to supplement at Brett Beatty coming up at some point this season, Mark Vientos coming up at some point this season, but the bottom of this lineup just doesn't inspire much confidence in me. Mark Canna is a great guy. I love him, but you know, I think that he's just kind of is what he is this year, a decent hitter, whatever, more kind of leaning towards below average. Eduardo Escobar, once again, great guy. I love him. I am not too confident in him still being a great bat. And then Omar Narvaez is pretty good, solid defensive catcher, not the greatest offensive catcher. Daniel Vogelbach will be in there against righties, and he's great there. But against lefties, your bench options are Tomas Nido, Tim LaCastro, and Tommy Pham. Which isn't great. The bench doesn't have a ton there in terms of power, which, once again, like I said, probably will be supplemented with prospects, but also you never know. You can't really bank on stuff like that. So I say all this to say, I still think they're going to be a very, very good team. Obviously, I think they're going to be a playoff team. I think that they have a really good chance to make a deep run. I have expectations of them making a deep run. But as far as over the course of a season, I am still leaning towards the under, like a 92-93 win under. But I think that they're probably the first wild card.
Cool. Yeah, I think I'm maybe the opposite here. I'm going to go the over on them. And I think I'm a homer. I'm going to fully admit it, and I'm probably going to share my homerisms when we talk about the Atlanta Braves here. I see this team, and I think that this team is a good top-to-bottom team. So,
yeah, and once again, I feel bad because I feel like I'm being a doomer here, but I promise you I'm not. I think they're going to be a 93-94 win team. I don't think that that's a room to be a doomer. I know I sound like it, but yeah, I mean, I still think they're going to be good. I just have my thoughts. I have my concerns. Moving on to the last team in the division here, the Atlanta Braves. Projected this season, well, last season, went 101-61, won the division there, projected for 96.5 wins. They bring back a very similar team, only losing William Contreras, Kyle Muller, Freddie Tarnak, and Manny Pena, and they add, well, actually, no, they also lost Dansby Swanson. Duh. And they added Sean Murphy, Dennis Santana, Joe Jimenez, Sam Hilliard, and Kevin Pillar. Chris, I mean, take yourself out of it, because there's nothing I'm looking forward to about facing this Braves team, but what are you looking forward to about this Braves team?
Yeah, I mean, I really keep on going there, but I really want to see Acuna play. You know, I think Acuna finally coming off of, you know, some injury things in there. There's not many people, so talked about Pete having 40 homer power. There's not many people that you can look at and say can conceivably do a 40-40 season. You know, he came close in 19, obviously, juice ball maybe there, but if he plays the whole season, at the very least, Acuna has a chance at that. Again, I think that's crazy to say that he has a chance, but I think that is, like I said, there's just not many players that you can say have a chance at doing that. So yeah, I really just want to see Acuna out there. I don't think he's going to get a 40-40 season. I think 30-30 is more almost, you know, if he plays all the games, he's going to be there guaranteed. But yeah, I really just want to see Acuna kind of come out of the injuries and be a great player this year.
Yeah, so my pick here is, as far as who I'm looking forward to, I'm looking forward to if we're going to see Michael Soroka on the mound this year. He's starting to make his return, has dealt with a lot of injuries, a ton of injuries since his really good you know, rookie season in 2019, and has just kind of had a lot of setbacks, torn ACLs, I believe, you know, strained hamstring. He's had his issues, but hopefully looking forward to coming back this season. I think that him and Kyle Wright will really round out this rotation with Max Fried and Spencer Strider and Charlie Morton. Right now they have Jared Schuster lined up, who's a non-roster invitee, but I think that's just because of the injuries that they've had. You know, it's just one of those things, like I said. I think that they're a really good team. They have the star power there. I would really wish that they got rid of Marcelo Zuna just because he's a bad person and a bad player. But yeah, like I said, I just think they're a really, really good team. And I probably have them winning the division. Chris, 96.5 wins. What's your pick for the over-under?
All right, here's my homer thing. I think I'm going to take the under on them. Again, I think it's still going to be like a 94-95 win team there. I am just concerned with the pitching, you know, in the state that it's already showing its injury heads. I know that you talked about Soroka. I know that Soroka had a little bit of a snag in his in his injury, I think, you know, about a few weeks ago or so. He's still on, you know, kind of the up and up with it. So it's not like it's going to be something that's going to make him miss considerable more time there. But yeah, I just see, you know, you're really hinging on guys that have been injured, and it's always scary to trust injury. I don't want to say injury prone, because I hate those terms. Obviously, I'm a Mets fan and I hate those terms around like Jacob DeGrom and stuff, you know. But I see some question marks in this rotation. Obviously, it's a great rotation by Fried and Strider and even Charlie Morton, even though Morton's older, you know, he's still a very good pitcher. But I just am seeing some kind of question marks and want to see, you know, Soroka and Wright kind of pitch through those injuries and show up more, I guess. So I don't know. I'm going to take the under, but.
You know what? I'm going to flip some picks here. I'm going to take the over for both the Mets and the Braves now. I'm going back on it. I'm taking the over on both of them. I still think that the Braves are going to win this division. I am thinking it's honestly going to be a lot like last year. We're going to have like a 98 win champion and like a 96-97 win second place team. So I think that that's going to come back down there, but I'm willing to let myself feel things again. So I'll take the over for both of them now. We'll swap that. So real quick, going to put you on the spot here. We didn't do much research on this, and even still, I'm trying to think. I don't know what I'm going to pick. Just real quick, who's your representative from the NL in the World Series? Who's your representative from the AL in the World Series? Who's winning?
I'm embarrassed to say this, okay? I'm just throwing this out.
Okay.
I'm embarrassed to do this. I am going to say the New York Mets. I'm a homer. I'm going to say the New York Mets are going to get there, and they're going to fell the Los Angeles Angels. I think that Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani got so souped on the World Baseball Classic that they are going to do everything in their mind to make a two-man roster for the World Series. And the Mets are going to say, you know what, Shohei, you're going to be here in orange and blue, and we're going to show you why you want to do that. So, joking aside, I kind of see that contrarian pathway, to a crazy World Series like that, and I'm rooting for it. So you ask me what I want to see, that's what I want to see.
I will ask you this question next week after you've had a little bit more time to think about it.
I'm going for it. I think I'm sticking down. I'm doubling down. We have to separate ourselves from the rest of the baseball podcast, okay?
Okay.
No one is saying this. No one's saying Mets over the Angels.
Sure. Definitely. I guess I'll just go with kind of the boring, trendy picks, and I will go Padres versus Blue Jays, and I'll take the Padres winning it all. I think that both are great teams. Both are exciting teams. That will be a super-duper fun World Series, and maybe I'm just picking it because I want to see it. But yeah, so that's my pick. We have run really long, so I think instead of doing a Remember Some Guys That I Did Not Research For, we are going to do two in the next episode after we start moving to weekly, because baseball season is starting. Hopefully it'll be starting today, the time you are listening to this. So really excited. Can't wait to get going. Chris, do you have any parting thoughts?
No, just really excited about baseball kicking up, and I'm just in such a good mood about it, so as if you cannot tell.
Can't wait. We hope you enjoy, and we hope you will enjoy Ball 5 in the 2023 season.
Yep. Bye, everyone.